Now, on Thursday, 13th of September, the Irish Guide Dogs co-founder, Jim Denny, was awarded with an honorary doctorate in laws from University College Cork. And I'm delighted to say that I am joined on the line now by Jim. And Jim, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed.
Now, what did last Thursday mean to you?
Well, it was a great honour. I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting to get an honorary doctorate. It was the furthest thing from my dreams until I got a call in March to say like that. They were awarding me with an honorary doctorate from my 40-odd years as a co-founder and president of the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind.
And it's an incredible story, the Irish Guide Dogs. And Brian, can you tell our listeners a little bit about how the Irish Guide Dogs came about?
Well, going back to November 1968, I lost my sight, and I found that even worse than losing my sight, I found there was no mobility training at all in our country. No mobility training of any kind in our own country.
And that must be very frightening, is it, Jim, if you find yourself in that position whereby you need help and you need support and it's not there to be found?
Well, I felt I was in a scrap heap. I mean, I was absolutely, any time I had to go anywhere, I had to ask my wife or friend to go somewhere and let around like a dog. But fortunately, I heard of a training centre in Exeter where they train guide dogs. So, of course, naturally I applied and I was called early 1970. Over to Exeter at a guide dog training centre, and I trained there with my first guide dog called Vanessa. It was a white German Shepherd, and I spent 4 weeks there, and on my very first walk I realised that I had something special. I had my mobility back. The dog actually did everything for me, took me around obstacles that I didn't even know were there. So before I left, I said I would break heaven and earth when I got back home to ensure that all blind people got the same opportunity that I had in Exeter. I met a lady called Mary Dunlop, who at that time was fundraising for the British Association. And together we approached the Irish government, asked them would they ever fund a centre, because there are a lot of blind people in Ireland who could do with mobility. Unfortunately, they said there wouldn't be enough demand for such a service. So we decided, look, okay, we'll hold the general meeting, which we did in 1975 in the Mansion House in Dublin. And the Mansion House was full to the rafters of the public.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the proposal was to establish a mobility training centre in our own country. So we got the names and addresses of hundreds of people who appeared to support us with funding and with help. And in 1976, the Irish Guide Dogs, well, at that time it was called the Irish Guide Dog Association, was founded, and we began training guide dogs. Then in 1996 we began using trained long cane, and then in 2005 we started a training for children who suffered with profound autism. And today we have three services running, and indeed there's a huge demand like for all the services, particularly the guide dogs and the assistant dogs training.
And I'm looking here at some of the stats that we were provided, and it says that each year the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind train between 30 and 40 dogs. Now that's a stunning number, isn't it, in fairness?
Well, I would hope to be double that, to be frank, because the waiting list is growing, and some people, you know, are waiting far too long, in my opinion. I think, you know, if you're waiting a month, it's a long time. So what we're hoping, and I would hope over the next number of years, again with the funding, that we would be able to, you know, make that number, bring it up to 60 at least, anyway, 60, because the demand is there. And the extraordinary thing, on Thursday when we had the nomination for my I shouldn't have got, really, I suppose, but anyway, I did get it, my doctorate, was that there are a number of blind people now attending university and taking degrees, and they're going with their guide dogs and their long canes, and that's happening in other universities around the country as well. But the University College Cork have a particular interest in disability, all disabilities actually, but particularly for blind people. So, you know, with the technology and with the mobility, there's no reason why people who have bad sight or no sight can't cope equally with their sighted counterparts.
And it's a very valid point to make. I'm looking here, it says that UCC currently works with 39 visually impaired students. I mean, that's brilliant to think that these 39 individuals are not hampered by the fact that they have little or no visibility, that they're able to go to a place like UCC and be catered for and be supported for, and it doesn't have to hinder on their education.
You're right. And the other important thing is that they're seen around the campus, and I think the other students, you know, recognise it more and more. And indeed, the people around the country, I mean, we have guide dogs in every part of the country, and when they see people getting around with their guide dogs, I know when I went around early on, back in 1970, that time it was the poor blind person. In fact, in Cork City, there was a place called the Blind Asylum. That'll tell you.
It's frightening, isn't it?
In other words, apart from losing their mobility, they also didn't have a mind of their own, you know.
You also mentioned there, and I think people might not be aware, that not only, as you said, you don't just do guide dogs, you also do assistant dogs for children with autism. And that's hugely important, isn't it, that you expand your service like that? And particularly, I think studies have found that children that do use dogs to help with autism have found great comfort in them, haven't they?
Yes, you're dead right. I think that I'm delighted to hear from the families with young children, where before they got the dog, the assistance dog, they couldn't bring the child out because the child would throw a tantrum in a shop or on the street, just lay down and looked like, you know, bad, misbehaved child, when in fact the child was suffering with autism. But with the dog seemed to have a calming effect on these people, and not alone can they now go out and do their shopping and walk the streets of the country, but they're now taking their child abroad on holidays.
It's amazing.
So that's the effect the dog has.
When it comes to the dogs that are trained, Jim, is there a particular type of dog that are better suitable for training than others?
Well, we have found the best and I think the most versatile, now rather than have three or four different breeds, we tend to see the Labrador or maybe a Labrador Cross Retriever as the best dogs, because first of all, you know, they're very well behaved, they're probably easier to train, and we find, even though there are some people who would want a particular dog, for example, I was a German Shepherd lover myself, but the public, I think, have a fear, well, not all the public, no, but a lot of the public have a fear of what we call a German Shepherd or the Alsatian, because I suppose they look fierce, whereas the Labrador or Labrador Retriever, you know, they look quiet, well-behaved dogs, and people have no difficulty in coming up and rubbing them, you know. Whereas a lot of people, when I had my German Shepherd, they wouldn't come near you.
And a lot of the time, to be fair, because I have a German Shepherd myself, an awful lot of the time, a German Shepherd is, they're, in general terms, very gentle dogs.
Quite right, yeah, but it's just, I don't know, it's maybe that they look, or it's...
It's perception, I suppose, isn't it? They're typically seen as security dogs, or what, they're typically seen as vicious dogs.
Correct, yeah. And they are listed, I think, as such, aren't they?
Oh, they are. You wouldn't mess with one, let's be honest, Jim. You wouldn't mess with one either, but they are a very gentle, very intelligent dog, I have to say.
Well, I think it all depends on the way they're trained. I mean, if you train a dog, you know, to be a guide dog, and on the other hand, if you train a dog to be a guard dog, there's a huge difference. So it goes back to training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I would say is a hard question, Jim.
Yes.
You've said you've spent 40 years now dealing with the Irish Guide Dogs and being a member of the Irish Guide Dogs. What for you are the proudest moments?
Well, I suppose the proudest moment for me would be the constantly increasing number of dogs that we're training, a growing number. And I said to you earlier, I'd hope like that, you know, we'd get that figure up to 60, because I don't want to see people waiting. I mean, when you're blind and you're immobile and you're stuck at home and you're probably, some people will be on a computer all day long, but that's no life, really. You know, so for me, I think the greatest thing is to have seen over the last 40 years the growth in the interest, first of all, in blind people, in mobility. And number two, I think the fact that the public now recognise that blind people, you know, that they can cope equally, you know, with their counterparts who are sighted, and those who find their way into employment and into universities. That gives me the greatest joy. Yeah. Not the doctorate, incidentally.
Well, I was just going to say, and I know you very humbly say that you don't think you were worthy to get that. You were absolutely worthy. You've done amazing work.
I don't know. I mean, okay, it's an honour, and I hope you know that most of the credit, I suppose, will go to the Irish Guide Dogs for Blind Association. Really, I mean, it's the fact that now I think it's recognised, you know, that blind people, you know, are much more capable when they are mobile and when they have mobility. I mean, we all need mobility. Everybody needs mobility. I know, even if they're in a wheelchair.
We do, and it's support, isn't it? And you do amazing work. I know my own father was blind in the last few years of his life, so I understand the importance of having support if you are blind and you are visually impaired, and it's hugely important. And as an organisation, you do amazing work. And humbly or not, Jim, you do absolutely deserve all the accolades that you get. Can I just say congratulations to you and best of luck to everything that you do in the future. And thanks a million for joining me today.
Thank you, Linda, very much indeed for that.
Thank you, Jim.
All the best.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.